All righty, we are talking to David Frank from Lawyers Weekly, and David, you know, not to say it makes it sexy, but what kind of jumps out when you hear about this case is the idea the guy is thinking his 13th Amendment rights were violated, but it's not so much the slavery factor, so much it is whether or not he was really, you know, convicted of a crime, which he wasn't.
Right. I mean, the 13th Amendment bars slavery and involuntary servitude for anybody, whether you're behind bars or not. There is an exception, however, that if the involuntary servitude is being handed out as part of a punishment for a crime, like if you've been convicted of a crime, the law recognizes that punishment can be appropriate. Obviously, that's subject to limitations, but the general rule is that unless you're serving a sentence, your time behind bars is not punishment, and it can't be treated that way. So you do have to give the plaintiff in this case a lot of credit. He's come up with a very creative argument, and at least for purposes of this appellate court ruling, he's being told that he has every right to present this case to a jury.
So it really does come down to the fact that he had not been convicted of a crime but was being held while awaiting trial, and in fact charges were dropped against him.
That's right. And what the state of Vermont is arguing is that the plaintiff here can't show that he was being forced to work in the laundry room under a punitive set of circumstances. He can't show that being required to clean other inmates' laundry is punitive. And because the state of Vermont is saying that, they're saying that this case shouldn't even be allowed to go to a jury. What the appeals court has done is say that a lower court judge that agreed with the state of Vermont was wrong, that at the end of the day, it's a question of fact. It's something that a jury should be allowed to decide. And what the appellate court said is that a jury will have to make a determination as to whether or not this requirement that an inmate work in the laundry while he's waiting trial is punitive. If a jury says it's punitive, then the plaintiff in this case may make money. He's probably not going to make the $11 million or whatever it is he's looking for, but he would certainly have a client.
Well, I have to say, if someone made me work in a hot laundry room for 14 hours for 25 cents an hour, I don't consider that a luxury.
It is certainly not a fun way to spend time, and being locked up, held on bail is not supposed to be fun, but it is a significant distinction that the law recognizes that when you are held on bail waiting trial, you're presumed innocent. The law looks at you as an innocent person, even though you've been charged with a crime. Unless a judge or a jury finds you guilty, that presumption of innocence gives you some protections. And the question in this case is going to be whether it protects you from being forced to work in a laundry room for 25 cents an hour.
Obviously, I would think that there would be ramifications of this case should he end up winning. I mean, it would really force prison systems around the country to look at how they treat people who are awaiting trial.
Absolutely. I mean, for the most part, I think that a lot of jails that are holding people pre-trial.
Oh, hey, Dave, I'm going to stop you just because you cut out for 1 second.
Oh,
you can start your response over again.
Sure. You were just saying what, that it's a...
That there would be ramifications for other prison systems should he be successful.
There's no doubt that if this plaintiff is successful here, it would be a very significant message for jails and houses of correction that hold people pre-trial. The message would be you can't force people to work while they're waiting trial, whether you're going to pay them 25 cents an hour or $25,000 an hour, you can't force them to do it. And if the plaintiff wins here and a jail or house of correction continued to impose that kind of a requirement, they would be subjecting themselves to the possibility of significant damages. And really, it comes down to the general notion that we're all presumed innocent unless and until we're found guilty in a courtroom. And so certainly, the implications for any jail or any house of correction that's requiring pretrial detainees to work while they're waiting for their day in court would impact all of those.
Dave, anything else we should touch on?
No, I hope I'm trying to talk as I'm on the Cape and I'm just trying to be coherent.
Sounds fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll sum it up, and if this is something that you want to use, great. If not, if what I've given you is good, fine.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, the arguments that are being raised here are really, you know, fundamental constitutional questions that you see raised in other contexts. What makes this case so unusual is that it's being raised in a case where a person was being held on bail waiting to be heard on trial, and he's saying that it was unfair for him to be required to work in the laundry room. And I would imagine that a lot of jails in Massachusetts and New England aren't requiring their pretrial inmates to work while they wait to get to court. But any jail or any house of correction that is, a case like this, win, lose, or draw, should send a very strong message to them that they have to think very carefully about what their policies are, what their procedures are. Because if you go too far over the line, regardless of the outcome in this case, talking about a possibility of violating a person's constitutional rights, that's a very serious accusation. And if it's true, it's one that can result into pretty significant damages.
David, that should do me, man. Thank you so much.
All right.
Enjoy your weekend on the Cape.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you.
Bye.